Let's give our music department another hand for all their wonderful singing. And my, my, my. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. God is truly in this place, and we are so grateful for all of you being here with us. Our sermon series is The Power of Oneness, and we have sought to find out through Scripture what it means to be unified, what it means to be one in the body of Christ. And today we want to look at growth God's way. Growth God's way. I ask that you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, as we will focus on Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Plants are very interesting things, and one of the fastest growing plants in the world is bamboo. Some of the largest timber bamboo can grow to be over 98 feet tall and be as large as 6 to 8 inches in diameter. You see, unlike trees, individual bamboo culms emerge from the ground at their full diameter, and they grow to their full height in a single growing season, and their season lasts about 3 to 4 months. However, the growth rate of bamboo is dependent upon the local soil or the climatic conditions as well as species. In other words, when the conditions are right, the bamboo will grow at a rapid rate. When the conditions are not right, the bamboo will not reach its full potential in any given season. Today, the church wants to grow. Today, the church wants to be vital. Today, the church wants to be the church of Jesus Christ that God has called us to be in the world. But the only way the church is going to grow is if the soil is right. The only way the church is going to be the church of God through Jesus Christ in today's culture and today's society is when we do some very good planting and some extreme watering. In other words, the conditions for the church have got to be right in order for the church to grow. And I would suggest that the way the church grows is not simply by our own means or by what we think the church should be growing towards or doing to get to growth, but rather our method of growth yields to God's way of growth. It's very difficult for the church to grow when there is more divisiveness than oneness. It's very difficult for the church to grow when there is more self-centeredness rather than God-centeredness. It's very difficult for the church to grow when the church fights over entitlement and rank rather than helping individuals in society who need help. And so if the church is to grow, then my friends, we've got to do that God's way. The Corinthian church wrestled themselves with this issue of growth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is infighting within the church that has continued. Watch this from chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, there had been arguments. And Paul says this regarding these arguments in verse 12. He says, "What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ." Then Paul says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul?" There were divisions in the church over who these individuals would follow. Some were following Paul because Paul had been the person who came and planted the Corinthian church. Others wanted to follow Apollos because after Paul came and planted the Corinthian church, Apollos came back and preached the word to them. Others wanted to follow Cephas, and even others wanted to follow Jesus Christ. Paul again addresses this issue in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, which is our text today, when he says this. He says in verse 6, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose." Somebody say one purpose. "One purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are all God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building." Now, it's very important to see the situation that's going on here. There is division in the church. They are divided over who they are to follow. Some want to follow Paul, others want to follow Apollos, others want to follow Cephas, and some want to follow Jesus Christ. Paul addresses this Corinthian community in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, and he says, you know, I wanted to come to you as spiritually mature folks, but I couldn't approach you as those who are spiritually mature because you are acting as if you are worldly. And you are, in other words, jealous of one another. You are quarreling with one another over who you are to follow. But he asked such a profound question. Is Christ divided? Are you to follow Paul, or are you to follow Cephas, or are you to follow me? But you are to follow Jesus Christ. And so he wants to approach this Corinthian community on the basis of their spiritual maturity. But he cannot do that because they are, as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, still on milk. They're still on spiritual milk. And they haven't gained that maturity in which he wants to address them on the basis of. Friends, I want to tell you this. We will never become the church that God calls us to be if we become satisfied with spiritual milk and not spiritual meat. If we become satisfied with the status of the immature, acting on our worldly facets, acting on our worldly ideas, bringing all of our worldly knowledge and thoughts into the church, and not growing God's way, we'll never be the church that God has called us to be. It takes spiritual maturity. Friends, God wants his church to grow. And God doesn't just want his church to grow here and there, but God wants his church to grow rapidly. Let's look at that for a moment. And today, if God's church is to grow rapidly, it simply takes the church applying God's method of growth. Paul says in verse 6, the first part of verse 6, he says, I planted the seed. If we're going to be the church that God calls us to be in the 21st century and grow God's way, there has to be a season of planting. It was alluded to earlier during our time of Thanksgiving that there were some individuals that came before each and every one of us, and they planted some seeds in the ground, and we had to come back and water those seeds. But there was some hard, dirty work that took place for us to experience what we experience today. If the church is to be the church that God has called us to be, we've got to enter into this plant, in this season of planting. Planting suggests very hard and often dirty work. If many of you have gardens, you know that the seed doesn't just plant itself in the ground. You don't just throw it down and it automatically goes into the ground. But often it takes you getting down on your hands and feet and on your hands and knees and digging into that dirt, often getting your knees dirty, often getting your hands dirty. For those ladies who have gotten their nails done, you get dirt in between your fingernails and your fingers. But planting is some hard, dirty work. And Paul says that if the church is going to be the church that God has called us to be, it takes us going through a season of planting. It takes us doing some hard work. Paul indicates in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, what his hard work consisted of. He says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. Here's the hard work. In great endurance, in troubles, in hard work, in sleepless nights, in hardships, distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments and riots, in hunger, in impurity, understanding patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we are alive and live on, beaten yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing yet possessing everything. Now that's hard work. And Paul understood that if he was going to be what God had called him to be to this Corinthian community, it took him going through some sleepless nights. It took him sacrificing a part of himself. It took him giving away those things that were comfortable to him, getting outside of his comfort zone, and getting into that dirt and doing that hard, dirty work. If the church wants to be the church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century, we've got to step out and do some things that are going to be hard, difficult, dirty, but necessary. And God is calling each and every one of you as disciples in his kingdom to plant. And watch this. Often in the planting phase, we see plants grow up. But there are certain periods of time where plants run their course. And they have to be taken back up. And things have to be replanted. Maybe God is calling you in your own life to dig up some old plants and to replant some new ones. But planting is necessary, and it calls for faithfulness and dirty work. But then Paul says in verse 6, the second part, he says, I watered it, I planted, but Apollos watered it. Now, it's very important to understand who Apollos is. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 25, it tells us that Apollos was a Jew. And he was a Jew who had a very thorough knowledge of the scriptures. And he spent time with this Corinthian community. And he instructed them in the way of the Lord. So Paul says he came along and he planted this Corinthian church. He did the hard, the dirty work. He experienced the ridicule, the persecution. He experienced all of the danger and imprisonment and the plots and the riots and the sleepless nights. He did the dirty work. But Apollos, a man who was skilled in the scriptures, came back and he watered it. In other words, Apollos came back and he did the teaching. Apollos came back and he spent time with the people. You see, watering suggests the work of nurturing. The work of nurturing and spending time with what has been planted. You see, many people planted this church on a strong foundation, on some good soil, as the Bible would say. And there were some people who came after those who planted that had to water this thing, that had to spend time with what had been planted. If we're going to be the church that God has called us to be, God calls us to a phase of watering. In other words, God calls us to spend time with what has been planted. My grandfather several years ago was in the hospital. I was about 16 at the time. And in our family, when somebody gets ill or sick and is in the hospital, every person in the family has a turn in which they will go and spend with that person. When one of our family members is in the hospital, nobody sleeps there at that hospital by themselves. But we all take turns. And many nights, because me and my grandfather were so close to each other, I would go there at 16 years old and spend the night with him. But even when he was ill, one of the things that he always reminded me of was, buddy, as he called me, make sure you go by the house and water the plants. Because it was summertime and it was hot and there hadn't been any rain for a little while then. And he said, make sure, buddy, you leave here and you go by and water the plants. In other words, what my grandfather was saying, he had spent time toiling that soil. That he had spent time getting dirty and he had spent time planting what he wanted to be harvested. But even while he was in the hospital, he needed someone to go there and water what had already been planted. He needed someone to care for it. He needed someone to nurture it. And so I would leave the hospital and I would go and I would water my grandfather's plants each and every day. God says he needs some Christians to water his church. He needs some born-again believers in him to spend time with what has been planted, to spend time with the people that have been brought here, to spend time in studying God's word so that disciples of Jesus Christ can be made and formed and strengthened in God's word. To spend time watering the worship service and the facility that is here. To spend time building relationships with one another through Jesus Christ. Growth God's way calls for watering. Calls for the work of nurturing. Calls for the work of spending time with what has been planted. But I like what Paul says in the remainder of the scripture. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything. But God only who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Paul simply boils the process of growth God's way to one purpose. Between planting and watering. Found in verse 8. It says, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. That one purpose. Well, what is that purpose? The purpose is to make God's church grow. And many people consider God's church to be the physical building. Many people consider God's church to be the edifices that we worship in each and every day. But Paul is not saying we simply need to make the worship facility grow. But Paul is saying that the one purpose that the church should always have in mind is to build up the body of Christ in Christian faith, fellowship, love, through the means of grace, going through God's word. Amen. That's the beauty of building. That's the beauty of growth God's way. That we have one purpose in mind. In verse 9 it says, "For we are God's fellow workers." Meaning, we're in this thing together. You are God's field, God's building. Friends, God wants to grow you. God wants you to plant some things in your life and then water those things through the means of his word so that you can grow up in the faith. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, that he couldn't approach them as those who are spiritually mature because they were still on milk, but he had to approach them from a worldly perspective because they were still worldly. Well, if God wants to approach each and every one of us in our daily lives, he can't approach us when we are simply worldly and of thinking from our own perspective on things. But God wants to approach each and every one of us from a spiritually mature perspective so that we can make his church grow. In closing, there's a period of time where the results of what has been planted are not automatically evident. You see, often there's frustration, there's impatience, and there's hopelessness. But with consistent nurture, what has been planted will indeed grow. It takes commitment, it takes fellowship, it takes planting, it takes watering. And when these things happen, God will make God's church grow. Because we will remove all of the focus off of ourselves and put it on God. Friends, I invite you to plant the seed of God in you. Water it with consistent study and prayer. Plant a seed in someone else's life and water it with love, compassion, and accountability. And watch God make it grow. Pray with me. God, we give you thanks and we honor you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, O God, for growth your way. And God, in the oneness of spirit, Lord, we pray that you might make your church grow. That, Lord, people from every nation, every tongue might come together and to be one.